preparing you for the second coming of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, we worship you this morning. We give you the praise, the glory. You are holy. You are above everything. There is none like you, God. You are high and lifted up. You are upon your throne in the heavens. Lord, you dwell in the hearts of your people. Lord, we love your presence. We love your word. We love your truth. We love your ways. We love everything about you, Lord. Lord, I ask you to speak to our hearts this morning. I ask you to speak to those here. I ask you to speak to those listening by internet radio. I ask you to speak to those who will listen. Lord, I ask you to anoint this word as we get into your scriptures. Lord, we pray that you will speak through them to us. Convict us, convince us, exhort us, encourage us, strengthen us, Lord. Whatever we need this morning, each person, you know what each person needs, let your spirit speak, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Good to have you this morning. I want to welcome everyone to Fire and Grace Church. We welcome those listening by Blog Talk Radio this morning. I want everyone to turn to the book of Amos, Prophet Amos this morning, chapter 5. Amos chapter 5. I want to say happy birthday this morning to Marlene. She has joined the 40 Club. Welcome. Now we can start looking at you as an adult. Hallelujah. This morning, the message I believe the Lord gave me is entitled, Running from the Lions. Running from the Lions. And it's not a mistake there that the word lions is plural there. Running from the lions. Now, you're going to have to stay with me to understand what I'm talking about this morning because we're going to run through a lot of scripture. But here in the prophet Amos, as I've said even last week and a few times, the Old Testament prophets were very unique individuals because unlike even the apostles and the New Testament prophets, they were speaking of things that would happen, you know, about Jesus in the same prophecy. They would be speaking about things in their world in the near future. They would be speaking mysteries about Jesus coming to be the Messiah and die on the cross for our sins. And they would also be speaking many things about the very end of time when Jesus, the Messiah, would return and the time of great trouble. So they were very unique in the sense that they would cover this vast array of things. And sometimes it would seem, that's why sometimes God's Word, if you're reading it just by the natural man, the Bible says the natural man cannot see the things of the Spirit of God because they're foolishness to him. And he says neither can they be discerned because they have to be spiritually discerned. So basically you have to have the Holy Spirit help you understand sometimes what they're talking about. Because right in the middle of Amos's prophecy, he gives a prophecy about the last days. And I love the Bible's symbolic language because there's so much in a small passage. And if you follow the rules of biblical interpretation and you let the Bible interpret the Bible, then whenever the Bible uses symbolic language, like lions and bears and serpents, the Bible will always tell you what those things mean. So this morning we're going to talk about this verse or this passage in the book of Amos about the day of the Lord, the day of His great wrath, the great darkness that's coming upon the earth in the end, right before Jesus comes. And this is what he says about it. He said people would be running from the lion. Well, let's look at this. Amos 5, we're going to go over to verse 18. And we'll read verses 18 through 20. Now, I may read some more a little bit later in this, but really this is directed at God's people. Okay? And this is what he says. He says, woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. It is as if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand upon a wall, and a serpent bit him,
Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? And we know he's talking to the people of God because he goes on to say, I hate and I despise your feast days. I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your vials. But let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. Now, this passage I know is talking to the people of God, and it applies to us today. All right? Because he says, woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. And see, I'm around many Christians, and through the internet and through Facebook and through all the different mediums that we have now, I hear from a lot of different Christians. I hear both good and bad. I hear the positive. I could read to you emails and messages that I received this week of people saying, we thank God for your ministry. We love what you're teaching. Straight out of the Bible, keep preaching it, keep teaching it. But I also hear, you know, we don't want to hear that. It's not going to happen. Nothing's going to happen anytime soon. And I'm talking about Christians. We have the mockers of the prophetic, the prophetic word in the scriptures about the end times and Jesus returning and everything's going to lead up to that. We've got the mockers who don't want to hear it or say it's not going to be in our lifetime or it's 100 years away or whatever. I hear all of it. And then I hear people that say, yeah, I want Jesus to come back. Christians I'm talking about. Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready. It doesn't matter to me. I'm a pan-tribulationist. All the stupid jokes. It's going to pan out the way God wants it to, and I'm ready. No, they're not. Most Christians, particularly in America, the West, are not ready. They think they are. They're arrogant. They're prideful. They're blind. They're lukewarm. And yet they say, now remember this, Jesus told us about the Laodicean church, and one thing he said about them is, they say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. There is an attitude within Christianity that, especially in America, I got it. You know, I know how to use Google, so I'm an expert now. I'm about tired of Christians also that think because they watch a video on YouTube, they're all automatically an expert on Bible prophecy. And then they start correcting me or trying to correct me. I'm like, have you read a book or did you just watch one video? One video does not make you an expert. I've told people before, so the internet's great, but it's also bad. The hard thing now is not that there's a lack of information. The hard thing is figuring out which information is correct because there's so much of it and there's so much disinformation. And if you don't have some foundation in the scriptures and some foundation in some actual physical real books, you'll believe anything. But there are a lot of people that desire the day of the Lord or they say, I'm ready. I'm ready. They're not ready. But he says, woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. I'm going to prove it to you. Because he says this. He goes, to what end is it for you? Are you really sure you know how it's going to end for you? A lot of people think, remember, the lukewarm church said, I'm rich and increased with good and have need of nothing. And Jesus said, but you don't know. You're blind. You're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're naked, you're not ready. To me, that's the greatest danger within Christendom is to think that you're ready or to think that you're walking with the Lord correctly or to think that you're okay when you're not okay. To actually think, I'm good, I don't have need of anything. Jesus, I know Jesus, I got saved when I was 12. I know Jesus, I speak in tongues. I know Jesus, I had an experience, years ago. I know Jesus. A lot of people say they know Jesus. A lot of people say they believe in Jesus. A lot of people say that. In fact, Jesus said, In that day, he said, many will say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then he will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, or sin, I never knew you. They thought they knew him. They thought they were ready. They thought everything was wonderful. They said, yeah, I want Jesus to come. I'm ready. I'm ready. No, you're not. You better know for sure, are you ready for the day of the Lord? What end is it going to be for you? It's going to be different for me than it is going to be for you. Are you? But do you know how it's really going to end? Because the day of the Lord is not really an end as much as it is the beginning of eternity. It is the deciding moment. It is the judgment. And Christians are going to be judged. Christians. And not all Christians, I'm going to show you, are going to make it on that judgment day. Some Christians will hear, well done. Enter in. You've been faithful. Other Christians will hear, you should have done this. Bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. I'll show you that in a second. But I want you to see this. He says here that the day of the Lord will be like a man running or fleeing from a lion, and then a bear met him. And then he runs into the house and leaned on the wall and a serpent bit him. You may tell you the first thing this is saying? There will be no escape. You can run from the lion. You can run from the lion and you're going to meet a bear. You can run from the bear and run into the house and think you're safe and you're going to lean up against the wall and think, I'm okay now. And it says a serpent's going to bite. The day of the Lord's wrath, the end. There is no escape for anyone. You hear that? Now let me explain to you what these symbols mean. The reason I said lions, running from the lion. Everyone hold your spot here in Amos because we may come back to it in just a second. But go to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation 5. Everybody going there? In fact, I'm going to read from verse 1. This is when John was taken up into heaven, and he saw Jesus. And he said, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven and in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into the earth, or into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four elders, the four beasts, and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and nation and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. I'm going to stop right there because I want you to see something here. The revelation of Jesus is that he is, in symbolic language, he is the Lamb of God the spotless, sinless Lamb of God who was slain, who died on the cross for our sins, and rose from the dead. He came the first time meek and mild, in great love and great patience. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He was compassionate. He wasn't weak. He rebuked the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He rebuked sin. He talked about hell more than any of the other New Testament prophets and apostles. He warned of hell. He called people to repentance. But he demonstrated his gentleness and his love and his desire to save us and to heal us and to fix our hearts and everything, to wash our sins away. And that's what I talked about last week, the great love of God, that he would die on a cross for our sins and that he just longs for us. He desires us to come to him. And if we would just humble ourselves and be willing to give up our sin and give up our stubbornness and our rebellion and our hurts and our unforgiveness and our issues we have with people, and we just come to him and say, Father, forgive me. God, forgive me. He's so ready to forgive you. He's so ready to heal your heart and to heal every wound that's in. That is his desire. He longs for that. That's why the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's not, you know, what Jesus did on the cross is not just going to fall on everyone, no matter what they do. And that's what I talked about last week. You have to confess your sins. And if you're willing to confess your sins and turn from them, the Bible says that God is sitting there just, it says all heaven rejoices when one sinner repents. That means it says, I'm a sinner, forgive me, God, and I'm going to change. I'm going to give you my life. I'm going to follow you, Jesus. I appreciate what you've done for me. You gave your life for me. I'm going to give my life for you. And God forgives all your sin. And it says he takes those sins and throws them in a sea of forgetfulness and remembers them no more. That is the great love of God. That is the manifestation of Jesus as the Lamb of God who was slain for our sin. To me, it's an amazing, mind-boggling thing that God Almighty in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, who never did anything wrong, would let foul, unclean, sinful men spit on him and beat him, and punch him, and whip him with a cat of nine tails, and nail him to a cross. He allowed that to happen for you and for me. He didn't have to do it. It was his great love and his great eternal plan for you and for me to save us. But hear me. The Bible, the only time in the Bible, in Revelation 5 here, Jesus is not only referred to as the Lamb of God who was slain for our sins. He is referred to as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And this is what people are running from, even Christians. Because the Lion devours. The lion side of Jesus is his wrath and his judgment and his justice that's coming on wickedness and sin and rebellion and on this wicked world. You know, Revelation 6, in the last few verses, it says that when he is coming, even the rich and the mighty and the captains who have been antichrist and who have hated Jesus and hated Christianity and hated the Bible, it says they will say, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come. They really should have said, hide us from the Lion, the tribe of Judah, for he has come to devour and destroy. See, as much as God is a God of love and compassion and forgiveness, if you keep resisting and rebelling and sinning and running from him, you will end up having to deal with the Lion and not the Lamb. See, that's why it says in that verse in Amos, they ran from the Lion. They ran from Jesus. They didn't want to have anything to do with this Jesus who is also going to be our judge, who's going to judge sin, who is going to say to the angels, angels, take him, take her, bind them hand and foot, and cast them into hellfire prepared for the devil and his angels. The world and many Christians do not want to deal and have to face that Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. They are running from him. They don't want to hear about the book of Revelation, about end time prophecy, about his wrath and his judgment. They are running from the Lion of the tribe of Judah. They want the Lamb, but they don't want the Lion. You cannot have just one. You must accept him as the Lamb who took away your sin, who died on the cross and rose from the dead. But you must receive him as the Lion, the Judge, the righteous Judge, who is coming in great anger and great wrath to deal with all the wicked and all the lukewarm, backslidden, hypocritical Christians. Are you running from the Lion, the tribe of Judah? If so, you will not escape. You are going to run into a bear. Now, do you know what the bear represents in Bible prophecy? You want me to show you what it is? Or represents in the Bible, period. Go to 2 Kings. Chapter 2. Second Kings chapter 2. There's a short little story here about the prophet Elisha. The prophet Elisha, you could say, is Elijah times two. He's double dose of the Holy Ghost. Elijah's the end time prophet. In fact, the Bible foretells that before the coming of the great day of God's wrath, Elijah the prophet will come. And before Jesus, when he came the first time, John the Baptist came, and the Pharisees were confused because they said, well, isn't Elijah supposed to come before the Christ come? And Jesus taught his disciples, he said, John the Baptist was Elijah. He came in the spirit of Elijah. And that's why I believe that Elijah is coming again. The spirit of Elijah, at least. Some people believe literally. Maybe so. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see on that. But we can be sure the spirit of Elijah is coming. But let's just remember this. Elisha was Elijah's servant and pursued after him and humbled himself and was faithful to serve Elijah. And so because of that, he received a double anointing, a double portion of Elijah's anointing. So if you want to call Elijah the end time prophet, Elisha is times two. He did twice the miracles that Elijah did. But there's this little story right here. It's disturbing to some people that happened in the life of Elijah. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23, and it says, and he went up from thence into Bethel. Speaking of Elisha, he went up to Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him, saying, go thou up, bald head, go up, bald head. And he turned back, and he looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came out two she-bears out of the wood and tore 42 children of them. Now let me just say this. The word children here doesn't mean little children like Faith. In fact, in the Hebrew, it means young men. More like you guys. So they mocked the prophet. Really, teenagers. They mocked the prophet. They made fun of the prophet. And they weren't just mocking the man of God. They were mocking the prophetic office and the prophetic ministry. And right now today, we have a lot of these mockers of the prophetic office, of the prophetic ministry, and of end time prophecy, Bible prophecy. And this is part of it. If you're running from the Lion, you will end up mocking those who preach Jesus as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You will end up mocking the church and the pastors and the prophets and the ministers that will preach both sides of Jesus, that he is both the Lamb that was slain for our sins, and the Lion who's going to judge you for your sins if you won't turn from them. You will mock and you will resist and you will run. But as you run from the lion and as you mock the prophet, as you mock the prophetic word and the end time Bible prophecies, and as you mock these things and minimize them and despise them and set them aside, the Bible says a curse comes upon you. The prophetic curse comes upon you, and you will go from running from the lion, and you're going to run into the bears. And the bears are there to tear and to destroy you. If you go to the book, and we're not going to turn there right now, but in the book of Daniel chapter 7, the bear is seen as one that has ribs in its mouth. And it says, arise and devour much flesh. If you run from Jesus, you run from the truth of his word, from the true Jesus Christ, you are going to run into a bear, and that bear is going to begin to destroy you, bite by bite. First, you'll get deceived, and then you'll get into more and more sin, sexual immorality, drugs, alcohol. Bite by bite by bite, this bear is going to devour you until your flesh is completely a mangled mess. Because if you keep playing with the lust of the flesh, the Bible says that whatever, if you sow to the Spirit of God, you reap from the Spirit of God. If you sow to the flesh, you shall reap of the flesh, corruption. The bears came out of the wood. When they mocked the prophet, he cursed them. And the bears came out of the wood. Now, this is something I'm going to share with you this morning, I believe it's prophetic. In 2008, and I've shared this before, but this past week I've had two more dreams about bears. But in 2008, I had a dream while I was in Washington, D.C., pastoring a church there. And the dream was there were two bears. And I've shared it before. And there was a little baby cub bear, and there was a big mama bear, and they were in this house. And I saw my wife, and I saw a bunch of people, and I believe it was this church now. Before we even started this church, and I believe there were people in this church that were there and other people in my family, and I go into this house, and over on this side is the huge, or the little baby bear milling around, and everybody's oohing and aahing over it. And over here, there's mama bear sniffing around. But the people were completely unaware that they were between mama bear and baby bear. And if anyone that knows bears, there's one thing you do not want to do. You do not want to get between mama bear and baby bear. Because if mama notices it, she's going to attack and rip you to shreds. So in this dream, it was just kind of like a flash. I began to push everyone down this hallway, this long hallway to a back room. And as I shut the door, or tried to shut the door, big 800-pound mama bear hit that door in full anger and force. And for some reason, supernaturally, by God's help, I was able to hold that door off. So in the dream, my warning, my pushing, saved people from mama bear. And I didn't understand the dream when I woke up. I knew it was from God. Nancy will tell you, I have dreams sometimes. Most of my dreams I do not remember, even if I try to remember them. But the ones that I remember that are vivid, like I just watched it in HD, wow. So, this past week, I've had two dreams about bears. And in that dream, though, I had in Washington, D.C., the Lord revealed to me, he told me, he said, the financial crisis and collapse of 2008 was baby bear. Many people lost their homes. They lost half or more of their 401ks. I mean, it was a bad time. People had their houses, they were foreclosed upon. People had, lost automobiles. I mean, it was a big financial crisis. The stock market dropped, I think it's 16,000 down about 6,000 or whatever it was at the time, 14,000, 6,000. It was crazy. It was a financial crisis collapse. It affected the whole world. The Lord told me that 2008 was baby bear, and then he said these words to me. He said, Mama Bear's coming. And when Mama Bear gets here, there will be no recovery from that. So the Lord told me in 2008 there was another collapse coming, financial, economic. And this is part of the judgment. See, America, for the most part, even most American Christians, have run from the lion of the tribe of Judah. They've run from the truth of Jesus. They've run from the fear of God. They don't want the fear of God. They don't want all the truth. They want just enough. They want the sweet. That's why the seeker-sensitive churches are so successful, because they just give you a little. They give you the little sweet side of Jesus, the little lamb part. They don't give you the lion part. Right? But most of the church world has run from the lion in America, and so they're going to meet the bear. And the bear is this next financial collapse. Also, I believe the bear, which represents a curse from the prophetic side of God. It's not only the financial collapse, but I believe the bear in Daniel chapter 7 also represents Russia. And the West is about to meet Russia in full-blown war. Dimitri Dudeman was a prophet, a Romanian prophet, who suffered great persecution in a communist prison for being a Christian, for giving out Bibles in Romania under the Russian, the Soviet Union. He was beaten and tortured. And when the Lord told him that they finally let him go. And the Lord sent him to America. He couldn't even speak English. And the Lord sent him to America with a message. An angel appeared to him in the 1980s. An angel appeared to him and said, "Go to America. I have a message for you to give them." He said, "America will become Sodom and Gomorrah. Totally sexually immoral, given over to homosexuality and every sexual perversion." He said, "America will become Sodom and Gomorrah." And he said, "I want you to go tell them that both the Russians and the Chinese will invade their country. The Russians will attack the East Coast and the West Coast, the United States, and there will be an invasion of Russian troops on American soil." He said, "America will fall to communism." And he said, "It will start when civil unrest begins in the middle of the country, i.e. Ferguson, Missouri." Pretty eerie, isn't it? Both he and another prophet named Henry Gruver saw the same thing, different times. The Lord told Dimitri Dudeman that before this happened, there would be a revolution in his country, in Romania, and the government would change, which happened in the late 80s, early 90s. When God spoke to Henry Gruver, the prophet, God told him this in like 1986. He said, "When the Russians let all their people go free," and he said, "and America falls into a sense of security, peace and safety," he said, "that's when it will happen after this." Well, 1989, 1990, 1991, the collapse of communism, the fall of the Berlin Wall, the Soviet Union became no more like it was. It turned its people free. Many left the Soviet Union. Many of the Soviet Union satellite states had revolutions, and the Soviet Union became their own independent country. So that word came to pass. Henry Gruver saw the submarines, the Russian submarines, pull up off the coast of America and launch missiles. But everybody says, "Nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen." Keep mocking the prophet. Because I can tell you this much. You keep running from Jesus, and keep running from the Word of God, and keep mocking the prophet, you're going to run into the bear. And you think, "Well, I'm going to get away from the bear. I'll get enough food piled up or stocked up or whatever, or I'll be okay. Nothing's going to happen to me. I got enough money." See, a lot of the rich people think they got enough money. They'll be able to hide away in their holes and their dens and their caves and their bunkers. And he said, "You're going to run into a house, though. You're going to run into a place where you think you're safe. But if you've been running from Jesus and mocking the prophet, mocking the Word of God, that you're going to go into a house and you're going to think you're okay and you're going to lean your hand up against the wall and go, serpent. Who's the serpent? Satan. The devil. The demon. The Antichrist. His people. You will not gain. See, we got the liars out here. You're going to be raptured. I love what Corrie Ten Boom said about pre-trib rapture people, preachers. She's just called them false prophets, false teachers. I think that's pretty good. It's either true or it's false. Right? And well, now, Pastor Dean, people have different views. Yeah, and they're in different views. Can't both be right. One's wrong, one's right. Now, Jesus taught the rapture would happen immediately after the tribulation of those days. The sun will be darkened. The moon will not give off its light. The powers of heaven will be shaken. The stars will fall from heaven. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with great glory. Then he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather his elect from the four winds from one end of heaven to the other. You can make up excuses that that's for the Jews or that's not for us. Lie. You're running from the lion saying that crap. Now, these dreams that I had this past week, see, here's the good news. I'm going to tell you, because these dreams, God was revealing to me something. It's not, what, a couple of years ago, was it? You had the dreams of the bears in our front yard. There were, what, five of them? Five bears in our front yard, and they were chained. So that means they were being held back. Well, what were these bears? Again, what do they represent? I believe they represent the economic collapse. I believe they represent Russia and the devouring and the invasion and the world war. And these bears were in the front yard, and they were chained, and they were being held back. See, this stuff could have happened 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years. There's a lot of things that could have already happened. It could have war. Matter of fact, they admitted the other day that world war is nearly broken out between NATO and Russia of over 60 times in just the last few years. It will over Syria, over this issue in Syria. Russia is serious about Syria. And they just sent the largest nuclear submarine in the world, the 200 nuclear warheads, to camp off the coast of Syria, basically telling the United States and the French and the British, dare me. Just push me. Because the Russians have bases in Syria. They have much interest. It is their base in the Middle East, and they are serious about it. The Bible tells us that World War III will break out in the realm of the Euphrates River, and guess what? The Euphrates River runs all the way through Syria. The Bible tells us Damascus, Syria, will be destroyed and turned into a heap of ruins in one day. That means world war. We're at the brink of this, but we got the mockers going. That ain't going to happen. It ain't gonna happen. I got plenty of time. You're running from the lion. The lion of the tribe of Judah has given us all the signs to let us know the time we are in. And if you choose to ignore them, you are running from the lion, the tribe of Judah. And you're going to run slap into the bear. And the bear is going to devour you. Now let me tell you this. We're all going to run into the bear. See, the lion comes to all. The bears come to all. The serpent comes against all. But I love the story, 1 Samuel 17. King David, the man after God's own heart, the one anointed by the Holy Ghost. He said, you know, a lion came at me. And took a lamb, and I got it. I'm going to show you. The lion also represents the devil, but we'll deal with that in a minute. But he said, a lion came at me, and I killed the lion and took the lamb out of his mouth. He said, a bear came against me,
and I killed the bear and took the lamb away from him. And he goes, and this Philistine will be like the lion and the bear. You see, a fighter is going to be able to handle these things, but we'll deal with that in a second. But here's the two dreams I had this week that I know the bears are now very near. In the first dream, in the same week, two dreams in the same week. You know what that means? God was confirming it is upon us. In the first dream, I go out in my backyard behind my fence and go in the woods, and Storm's with me, my dog. And Storm, now she's obedient enough, even though she's still kind of a puppy, she wants to, especially if I take her out, she wants to go run and sniff everything, but she'll listen. And so we were walking, and then there was a trail going up this way, and I felt like there was some wildlife, some type of animals up in here, and I just wanted to see. I didn't have a gun, I wasn't hunting, but I said, Storm, that way, go that way. And she turned and she went up into that trail, and I followed behind her. Well, next thing I realized, she kind of corners in between some trees, and she corners this little cub bear. And she's not, you know, aggressive. She wasn't trying to hurt it, but she, you know, she wants to be friends. So. But this bear, and then I started looking around, and I noticed there was several of them. And I thought to myself, if the little ones are around here, then the big ones are around here. And, you know, black bears and grizzly bears are not common in Alabama. I'm finding out they're more common, though, than I realized. Their population's growing here. But I realized I didn't have my gun with me. And I didn't want her to get hurt, and of course I sensed a little bit of, maybe we just need to go back to the house. So I said, Storm, come. And she comes, and we go back to the house. And when I woke up from that dream, I told it to Nancy. What night was that day, on Tuesday night? Or when I had that dream, what the Lord gave me out of that was that the bears are now closed. The economic situation. And the Russians. The bears are closer than I thought. Caught me by surprise. That was all I got from that. So a couple of days later, when was it I told you? Was yesterday? Was it yesterday or the day before? I don't know. But anyway, a couple of days later, this is a dream I had. This dream, I'm going hunting in the woods. My woods again. Out behind my house. Got my camo on. I got my deer rifle with the big boy. I'm knocking shoulder off. And I'm going hunting, and I go up into the woods, and I go up to this little spot where there's a trail. And when I say a trail, it's an animal trail, because there's deer. There's deer. There's all kind of stuff. We have bobcats and deer and coyotes, and we always have animals are always running back in the woods behind the house. I've seen coyotes, I've seen deer, I've seen bobcats, foxes. But anyway, I knew it was an animal trail, right, coming down the hill, and I could see up for about 100 yards, and it was an animal trail. So I said, I'm going to get down right here where I can see if something comes down this trail. So I get down in the kind of the fork of this trail, and I'm in camo, and I'm kind of down in some bushes. You can't see me. And the next thing I look up, and I see a little cub bear. I'm like, bear. I see this little cub bear, and it comes over, and I can see it in the edge of the, and it's just playing around, and I'm not out there to hunt bear, and I'm not going to shoot a cub bear because there's no need for that. But I thought, that's odd. And then all of a sudden, it runs off in the woods. And then the next thing, I look up at the top of that trail, which is kind of up the hill, and this huge bear, big bear. You know, one of those, it's like 1,100-pound monsters is running down this trail straight at me. I mean, bears can, they look like they're lumbering along, but they can move. And this thing was moving down this trail. And I mean, it was coming straight for me. And I didn't think it could see me. But bears have a great sense of smell. So I don't know if it smelled me or what, but it was coming straight for me. And in the dream, I knew, well, it's going to reach me in just a minute. And if it reaches me and I don't kill it, it's going to kill me.
So I remember raising up the rifle, and in my dream, I can feel the adrenaline pump just like you do in hunting. I mean, you can start feeling the adrenaline pumping, but this is a little more because this one's life and death. It's like I'm sitting there going, don't miss, don't miss, don't miss, don't miss, don't miss, right? And I aim right for its chest. Shoot. And it keeps running for just a second. And then it slows down and falls over dead. I thought, boom! Got it right in the heart. And I remember in the dream thinking, whew, thinking, wow, thank you, Lord. And then I started thinking, wow, that's going to be a lot of me. You know, and I'm pulling out a knife, getting ready to go take care of it. And I wake up. And I've been pondering this ever since. And what the Lord, I believe, says is the big bear. The big bear. What God showed me in 2008, that the big bear is coming quick. But here's the difference. Listen to me. In the first dream, I wasn't really ready to deal with the big bear. But in the second dream, I was ready. I had the right weapon, and I was ready. And I took the thing down, and it did not affect me. Hear what I'm saying to you. If you're close to Jesus, you will be prepared for what is coming. You hear me? Because you're going to have the weapon of the name of Jesus, binding and loosing, the blood of Jesus over your life, Him as your refuge, Him as your provider. You're going to have it. If you're going, because you're going to meet this bear. You are. I am. And we cannot defeat it unless we are in the right place with the right weapon. You understand what I'm saying? But if you've been running from the lion of the tribe of Judah, if you've been running from Jesus, and you've been running from the truth of His Word, and you've been running from Bible prophecy, and you've been running trying to deny the time you're living, I don't want to hear it, Pastor Dean. I don't want to hear that. I got things I want to do. Let me tell you, you're running. You're running. And see, the people who run from the lion of the tribe of Judah, from Jesus, the bear's going to meet them. The bear's going to try to devour them, and they might run, escape the bear. They might go. They might know how to hunt, or they might have some food and water stat, or they might, but they're going to run, and the serpent's going to get them. See, the lion is also the devil. Let's go to that side. The Bible also uses the lion as a symbol of the devil. Let me show you this. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. You'll understand what I'm saying. You've got to be a fighter like King David was. Amen? Let's look at this. First Peter chapter 5, verse 8, he says here, Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, or like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. The devil is referred to one is as a roaring lion, going about seeking whom he may devour. See, let me give you the three things that a lion is used to represent in Scripture. You want the three? I've given you the first, Jesus, the lion of the tribe of Judah. The second is the devil, seeking whom he may devour. He's pictured as a lion seeking whom he may devour. And the third is the wicked. The wicked, the sinner, the violent man, the wicked man is also talked about as a lion. We may turn to a verse there in just a second. But here's my point about this. What the Lord showed me this morning when I was looking at this. The Christian, the born-again Christian, the Christian that says, I believe in Jesus, I love Jesus, I want to go to heaven, I believe Jesus died on the cross, I believe I've been saved, born again, and I believe Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Let me just say this to you. You're not supposed to run from any of the three. You're not supposed to run from Jesus as the judge. You're not supposed to run from the devil. And you're not supposed to run from the wicked. The righteous, I love this, are also referred to as bold as a lion. We're as bold as a lion and we don't flee from the wicked. But what do we have right now with Christians? We have Christians that say, you know, I believe in Jesus, but I don't want to hear that part of the Scripture. I believe in Jesus, but I don't want to hear the book of Revelation. I believe in Jesus, but I don't want to hear about God's wrath. I believe in Jesus, but I don't want to hear about sin and hell and repentance and eternity. I don't want to hear about the negative thing. There are people like that. People, I don't want to hear about spiritual warfare. I don't want to hear that I might need to cast demons out of somebody, or I might need to cast them out of myself in Jesus' name. I need to get free. I don't want to hear about the fact that I've got to fight, that it's a fight. I want everything to just be given to me and rain down upon me. I want it to be, you know, Joel Osteen Christianity. Who wouldn't want that? But it's not true. We're not supposed to run from the devil, folks. We're supposed to be engaged in the battle. That's why he said, whom resist? Speaking of Satan, you resist him. The word resist means to actively fight against. We got Christians retreating from Jesus. We got Christians retreating from fighting the devil. We got Christians running from the wicked, afraid of what unsaved wicked people think about them, and they won't take a stand. That's why I entitled this message, Running from the Lions. Quit running. Quit hiding. Quit trying to make everyone like you. Can I just tell you this? You want to be free. The greatest free. I'm one of the freest men in the world. You know why? I don't give a flip what you think. The truth is the truth. And you can like it, you can not like it. You can like me, you can not like me. But I'm free because whether you like me or you don't like me, it has no effect upon me. All I care about is do I please God. Someone prayed for me recently, and they said, they said, Lord, well, no, he doesn't give a flip about what people think of him. Don't get me wrong. I want you to like me. I want to be loved like everybody else, but it's not going to wreck my day. It's not going to ruin my life. It's not going to control what I say and don't say, what I preach and what I don't preach. I had to tell somebody the other day, I said, you know why people run from this church? They run from the lion. They run from this prophetic side of Jesus, prophecy side of Jesus, from this end time, wrathful, judgment side of Jesus. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear about hell. I don't want to hear about sin. I don't want to hear about that. Run. Run, 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 run. Some of you in here wish you could run, but your parents make you. Truth. I'm glad my parents made me go to church when I was young. It had an impact on me, even though I was running. And I ran for a little while. But you know what? I ran from the lion of the tribe of Judah. And then I met the bear. And then I met the serpent. And I found out that I didn't like the bear and the serpent. And that Jesus was better. The bear and the serpent of marijuana and alcohol and sexual immorality were doing nothing but making me depressed and getting me into more and more trouble and almost getting me killed. And I just thought, you know, it's time to let the bear and the serpent alone.
and get with Jesus. 19 years old, I did that, and there are no regrets. No regrets. I look back on that. It's amazing that a 19-year-old could actually make a wise decision. And I made a wise decision. I said, Jesus, I will go with you all the way, or I will not go at all. I will not be a hypocrite. It transformed my life. I went from being a rebellious, drug user, basically teenage alcoholic, violent, fighting all the time, going to bars, getting guns and knives stuck in my face, depressed, so depressed, I hated to wake up in the morning. I was so depressed. I thought the next girlfriend would make me feel better, or the next sexual experience would make me feel better, or the next drug I experimented would make me feel better, or the next drunken party, that would be the one that would make me feel better. None of it made me feel better. I thank God at 19 years old, God helped me figure that out. Some people go into their 40s and 50s and they're still acting like teenagers. I got some of my old friends on Facebook, they're still that way. They're doing the same crap, going to the same stupid bar. They're still going to the supper club. Come on, man. Quit going to the supper club when I was 18 years old with my fake ID. There's nothing new under the sun, you guys. Nothing new. Sin is sin. It's been the same for thousands of years. It ends the same way. Depression, darkness, and death. And then if you die in it, it ends up in hell. You know, soon we're going to have Mike Pitts' daughter here was in that car accident. Went to hell. She didn't even know the Bible, and she was sharing things about her experience when she was in hell for those 2 weeks. She was sharing things that are in the Bible she didn't even know was in the Bible. Go back to Amos real quick. Verse 18 again. Chapter 5, verse 18. Now you'll see. Now that we've expounded upon this, let's read it again. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. It's as if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand upon the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? You know, the Lord goes on to say here, he's speaking to his people, says, I hate and despise your feast days. Tonight begins Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. You know that the Lord cares nothing about that one way or the other. I know the Hebrew freaks will be mad at me about that. But he cares nothing about that. He even says it here. I hate your feast day. Then he goes on to say, I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. There are church services that God does not even want to be around. You hear me? He says, though you offer burnt offerings and meat offerings, I will not accept them. A lot of people think their offerings are going to make them right with God. That doesn't do it. And then he says this to him. He says, take away the noise of your songs. I will not hear the melody of your vows. A lot of churches have great praise and worship teams, but the sin is rampant in the church. The truth doesn't get preached in the church. There's a lot of things out there, folks, that looks like Christianity, but what did he say? You can be religious, you can practice the feast, you can be a Hebrews roots person, you can do all this stuff and make yourself feel spiritual and religious, you can give offerings, you can give your time, I know people that want to serve in church, but they don't want to get their life right with God. I love what you posted the other day. What was that thing?
Kermit the Frog, you know, drinking his tea, those little pictures. I love those. Those are my favorites. Kermit the Frog's drinking his little tea, and he says, I love how you hear the voice of the Lord to call you into the ministry, but you can't hear his voice to call you out of sin. He said, but of course that's none of my business. Little Kermit, he's off. What does he say here? God says, I hate all this stuff. You can sing songs. You can give offerings. You can go to solemn assemblies. You can keep feasts. You can do all this stuff. And you can feel pretty good about yourself. Be religious. But you still could be running from the lion. He says, but let judgment run down. You know what judgment is? Judgment means you accept the side of God that is a God of judgment. You accept it. God is going to judge this wicked world. God is going to judge wicked Christians. They will not make it into heaven. And then he says this, you better accept the judgment side of God, let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. There's the righteousness, let me just tell you this. There's the righteousness of Jesus Christ, because he never sinned. And then there's something in the scripture called the righteousness of the saints. Revelation 19. You know what that is? You know what that is? Revelation 19, I'm sorry. 19 verse 7. The righteousness of Jesus Christ is his all the time. And he'll give it to you. That's what's beautiful. He will give you righteousness. But the righteousness of the saints is when we say, Lord, I am unrighteous. I need your righteousness. And I will turn from sin and I will walk as obedient as I can. That is the righteousness. You will not make it to heaven without the righteousness of Christ and without walking in the righteousness of the saints. You will not. You can't. You've got to have both. A lot of people say, oh, it's all Jesus. No. He already did what he's going to do. Right? You choose. I chose to give up alcohol and drunkenness and drugs and sexual sin. I chose to give that up and to obey God's word. That is the righteousness of the saints. I chose to walk in that. That is the white robe that I put on, that Jesus bought and paid for through his blood. But I have to put it on. Just because Jesus bought you a pretty white robe, brother, doesn't mean he's going to put it on for you. You put it on by saying, Lord, forgive me. I will walk with you. I will obey you. I will change. I will walk away from this wicked lifestyle. I will. And when you do that, you put it on. That's why we have the parable where Jesus talked about the wedding of the Lamb, the wedding supper. He said there are going to be people come in there who do not have on a wedding garment, a white robe. And he's going to look at them. This is Matthew 22. He's going to look at them and say, what are you doing here without your robe? And it says the people will be speechless. You know why? Because they're Christians and they know better. You better show up in white. You hear what I'm saying? Listen, I know the Reformed theological people will have a problem with what I'm preaching this morning, because I say you actually have to do something. We read it last week in 1 John. Those who do righteousness are right. I love to mess with their heads with the scripture out of James, you know. Because, you know, they say, wait a minute now, you're justified by faith, not by works. And then James comes along and says, was not Abraham our father, father of faith, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered? Oh, wait a minute. That means the Bible teaches not only are we justified by faith, but we're also justified by our works, what we do. Uh-oh. I'm a heretic now, but I don't. You know what? According to the Baptists and the Presbyterians, whoever else gets into their 3.5 or 4.5 or 5.5 Calvinism, don't worry. You don't need to. It's not important. They would. The ones listening to this that are in that 3.5 or 3.4 or whatever. The 4 point, the 3 point of the two, they know who they are. My message is simple. Do not run with the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is coming back. Listen, this I got one more passage. I gotta turn. Psalm 2. Psalm 2 is all about Jesus 1,000 years before he came. Psalm 2. Look at this. Are you with me? We know this is speaking about the second coming of Jesus because he talks about the Messiah, the anointed one, in verse 2. But he says this in verse 9 about him: thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them to pieces with like a potter's vessel. Then he says, be wise now, therefore, O ye kings of the earth, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, rejoice with trembling, kiss the Son, S-O-N, the Son of God, Jesus. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Kiss the Son. You know what that means? Become intimately in love with Jesus. Lest he be angry and you perish. See, in that verse, we see two sides. We see the Lamb of God who loves us and wants us to be intimately in love with him. And we see the Lion of the tribe of Judah who is going to be angry and deal with those who rebel. And you know, the world doesn't like that. The world thinks that God shouldn't get upset. God is love, don't you know? Yep, that's one verse. There's a whole lot of other ones too. All right? Listen to me, folks. Not only are you to not run the lion of the tribe of Judah at any of these truths, but this is what God needs us to share with people. See, this, you know what, let me blow your mind? This blows my mind because I looked this morning when I logged in to Blog Talk Radio to set up the show for today. We have to put the time in. We have to put the title and everything and the tags. So I have to do that. Every show we have, I got to do that. But I got a little, when I go to the episodes button, it pulls up and I can see like maybe our last 10 or 15 episodes. And it'll tell me. It tells me how many people listened by telephone, how many people listened by computer, and how many people have listened overall to a particular message. And I happened to look down, and Tuesday, not this past Tuesday, but the Tuesday before, 2 weeks ago, we did the Tuesday night Prophecy Quake radio show on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Now, what's wild is we've been averaging 300 to 500 listens per show. That show, we've only had about 200. This past week, we did the show on Syria, Russia, fall of 2015. Here's what's amazing. In just, you know, that was 2 weeks ago. In just less than a week, that show's already at 400 listens. I thought, man, there's some people out there that want to hear about prophecy, Bible prophecy, and where we are. When you get into, you know, just a little teaching about, you know, a doctrinal issue in the church world, not half as many listen. You get on this subject, and we have double or triple. There are people out there that want to hear it. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. See, folks, that's what God sent us here to do. Fire and Grace Church. That's why our name is Fire and Grace. You know that? The fire of God's judgment and his grace to those who will follow him. That's what it's all about. And if you reject doing it his way, then you're going to have to pay your own way. But don't get mad at God if you want to do it your way and it doesn't work out. All right? Let's pray. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And I know, God, I have sensed your spirit speaking today. I've sensed you moving, speaking through this message. I ask you, Lord, to touch your people, to shake them up. Lord, if they've been lukewarm, saying they're fine, they're good, but they're not. And Lord, you deal with that. They've been running from you, Jesus, as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And Lord, shake them. Because we're all going to face the bear and the serpent. So Lord, I pray you help us. I pray people listening to this that are prodigals, that are backslidden, they left, they've been living in the world, in the pig pen, in the sin, drunkenness, drugs, alcohol, sexual immorality, whatever. They realize it's time to confess their sin and turn from it. Time to kiss the Son, to love Jesus with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to hate sin, and to begin a new life, a new walk. That is my prayer above all else, that people will come back to you, Lord. People who have fallen away, people who are lost, who are deceived, who think they're okay, but they're not. My prayer is that they will come back before it's too late. We're going to stand this morning. I'm going to give you an opportunity before we leave. Let's do that song, If I Have You. We're going to do one song. If you are here and you want to begin that new walk, then you know you can come up here and I'll pray with you. We're going to do this song. I don't know if it's 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes. That's all that's left. But if you need to give your life to the Lord fully, come out of the pig pen, come out of the sin, come out of the darkness, you're finally willing to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus and do it His way, then we'll give you an opportunity. Step forward and do that publicly, and I'll pray with you, and you can begin. But it's what you do tomorrow, and the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that. Do you mean it? If you mean it, your life will change. See, I meant it when I was 19 years old. June 1987, I meant it. That's why I'm standing here preaching today. Because I meant it. Jesus, you are Lord of my life now. I will follow you from this day forward. June 1987. And I think it was around the 21st, 22nd, somewhere in that time period. I know it was mid-June. But see, I meant it. I meant business. Problem is, we got a lot of talkers. Jesus, I love you, but you don't obey. Jesus, save me, but you don't want to repent. Jesus, I believe in you. None of that's enough. You got to be serious. When this song starts, if you need that prayer today and you're ready to start that journey, that walk, then you step up here. If
you're not, don't. I'd rather you be honest. How do you like that altar call? Go ahead, brother.
Living God, we only want to hear you. We're hanging.